Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Fall 2020. And the topic this quarter is death and dying. We're talking about some very difficult subjects. This is a particular preacher today, and it's a different preacher on just about every page of this quarterly that you can have, by the way, delivered to your door free every 3 months by just contacting chapel@mountzion.org. Now, the preacher of the day is Samuel Davies. He was a Presbyterian minister back in the 1700s here in our country, first non-Anglican preacher in our country, at least in that part of the country, from Delaware, lived from 1723 to 1761. His message is, if you should die this year. Jeremiah 28:16, this year thou shalt die. This year you may die, and should you die in your sin this year, you'll be forever cut off from all the pleasures of life. Excuse me. Then farewell, an everlasting farewell, to all the mirth and gaiety, to all the tempting amusements and vain delights of earth. Farewell to all the pleasures you derive from the senses and all the gratifications of appetite. This year the sun may lose his luster as to you, and all the lovely prospects of nature may become a dismal blank. And to you music may lose all her charms and die away into everlasting silence, and all the gratifications of the palate may become insipid. When you lie in the cold grave, you will be as dead to all such sensations as the clay that covers you. And then farewell to all the pompous but empty pleasures of riches and honors. The pleasures both of enjoyment and expectation from this quarter will fail forever. But this is not all. If you should die in your sins this year, then you will have no pleasures, no enjoyments to substitute for those which you will lose. Your capacity and eager thirst for happiness will continue, nay, will grow stronger and more violent in the improved state of your nature. And yet you will have no good, no whether real or imaginary, to satisfy it. Consequently, the capacity of happiness will become a capacity of misery, and the privation of pleasure will be positive pain. Can imagination feign anything more wretched than a creature formed for the enjoyment of the infinite good, pining away forever with hungry, raging desires without the least degree of gratification, banished at once from the supreme good and from all the created enjoyments that were accustomed to being poorly substituted in its stead? Yet this may be your case in the short compass of the following year. Oh, what a terrible change, what a prodigious fall. If you should die in your sins this year, then all your hopes and prospects of a long life will perish abortively. Several of you now are in a state of education, preparing to enter upon the stage of the world. You are perhaps often pleasing yourselves with mirthful and magnificent dreams about the figure you will make upon it. You may be planning many schemes to be accomplished in the several periods of a long life, and are perhaps already anticipating in idea the pleasure, the profit, or the honor you expect to derive from their execution. In these fond hopes, your affectionate parents, friends, and teachers concur with generous pleasure. But alas, in the swift revolution of this beginning year, all these optimistic expectations and pleasing prospects may vanish into smoke. Youth is the season of promise, full of fair blossoms, but these fair blossoms may wither and never produce the expected fruits of maturity. It may perhaps be the design of God that after all the flattering hopes and projects, after all the pains and expense of a fine education, that you shall never appear upon the public stage, or that you shall vanish away like a phantom as soon as you make your appearance. Certainly, then, you should extend your prospects beyond the limits of mortality. Extend them into that world where you will live to execute them without the risk of a disappointment. Otherwise, if you should die in your sins this year, then you will not only be cut off from all the flattering prospects of this life, but from all hope entirely and forever. You'll be fixed in an unchangeable state of misery, a state that will admit of no expectation but that of uniform or rather ever-growing misery, a state that excludes all hopes of making any accomplishment except as the monuments of the vindictive justice of God of the deadly effects of sin. How affecting is the idea of a promising youth cut off from the land of the living, useless and hopeless in both worlds, fallen from the summit of hope into the gulf of everlasting despair. And yet this may be your doom, my dear youth, your doom this very year, if you should die in your sins. If you should die in your sins this year, then all the ease and pleasure you now derive from thoughtlessness, self-flattery, and suppressing the testimony of your consciences will forever be at an end. You will then be obliged to view yourselves in a just light and to know the very worst of your condition. The secret plaudits of self-flattery will be forever silenced, and conscience will recover itself from that state of insensibility into which you have cast it by repeated hardenings. And as exasperated by your ill treatment, it will become your everlasting tormentor. It will do nothing but accuse and upbraid you forever. You will never more be able to entertain so much as one favorable thought of yourselves. And what a wretched state will this be, for a man to be self-condemned, to disapprove of his whole past conduct, to be pleased with nothing in himself, but heartily, though with horror, to concur in the condemning sentence of the Supreme Judge, to esteem himself a fool, a sinner, a base and sordid wretch, an enemy to himself and the whole universe, a self-destroyer, an outcast from all happiness and from the society of all happy beings, a vile, odious, useless, miserable, despairing creature forever. Oh, miserable situation! Does it not alarm you to think you may be so near to it? If you should die in your sins this year, you'll be deprived forever of all the means of salvation. All these are confirmed and confined to the present life and have no place in the world of eternal punishment. There the thunders of the divine law roar, but the gentle voice of the gospel never sounds. There the lion of the tribe of Judah tears the prey, but never exhibits himself as a lamb that was slain, an atonement for sin and the savior of the guilty. There conscience exerts its power, not to excite the medicinal anguish of kindly repentance, but the hopeless horrors of everlasting despair. There Jehovah works, but not to entangle and able the sinner to work out his own salvation, but to touch all the springs of painful sensation and open all the sources of misery in the criminal. There mercy no more distributes her bounties, but justice reigns in her dreadful rigors. There the sanctifying spirit no more communicates his purifying all healing influences, but sin, the great Apollyon, diffuses its deadly poison. In a word, when you leave this earthly state of trial, all the discipline of the present state, all your advantages for salvation, all the means of grace, all the encouragements of hope, will be forever removed out of your reach. Consequently, all possibility of your salvation will cease forever. For when the necessary means are taken away, the end becomes utterly impossible. And therefore, if you should die this year, then all your hopes of heaven will vanish forever. That was from a sermon on the New Year in a book called Sermons on Important Subjects, Volume 2, published back in 1854. I do not know if it's still available, but it was available to those who put it in this booklet anyway. Samuel Davies. I don't think that you will quickly forget that short message. May God bless it to your heart. Do check around my website, will you? I won't go through everything that I normally do at this time, but there are many things on the website and my other sites at criesfromamongus.com, at the YouTube, where you would just type in Bob from Hackberry House also, and check me out at Facebook. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.